You're listening to the STC Foundations podcast. This year, as part of our Grow project, we're focusing on the four Gospels, an opportunity Monday to Friday to worship and pray as we reflect on a thought from the Bible.
Hello and welcome to Thursday's podcast. We're looking at the second half of Luke 17 today. But before we start, let me remind us about what we've been looking at this week. On Monday, we thought about living the Jesus way and not just the way of the world. On Tuesday, we considered the bigger picture of life and death and the reality of heaven. Yesterday, we looked specifically at the value of forgiveness. And what God has been speaking to me about as I've re-listened to these recordings is that the message of Jesus is beautiful and the world needs to know it ASAP. I've definitely found myself looking outwards more and not just inwards. Life is too short to hold unforgiveness. People need to hear about Jesus and how it can help them be set free. Life outside of God's love sounds awful. People need to hear about Jesus and how it can set them free. I'm certainly feeling a sense of urgency again today to live well and to gossip God wherever I can. I wonder, what has God been saying to you this week already? If you need to, take some time, pause the podcast and listen to God or have a think. What have I been learning? Write it down. In a moment, we'll pick up Luke 17, looking at the coming of the kingdom of God. Jesus is being quizzed by some Pharisees about where and when will the kingdom of God come and how does it work? And he replies like this. I'm going to read verses 20 and 21 now. Once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people be able to say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." Now, I don't know what comes to mind when you hear these words, but I instantly think of the Peter Kay sketch where he sort of caricatures a popular opinion of our time. It's about friends looking down from heaven on us and giving us signs that they're okay. He goes on to talk about Connie and how Connie was there when the sunshine came out as the coffin was lowered into the ground. That was Connie. She was there. And he replied, "Wasn't it just the weather?" And the jokes goes on to a guy called Billy. "Our Billy loved cheese and onion crisps," he says. "You couldn't move for cheese and onion crisps in our house. Especially Quavers. He loved Quavers. And on the day that he passed away, as the coffin was lowered into the ground, she promises that she saw an empty packet of Quavers blow past the house. That was Billy. He was there. That was Billy. He was there." As funny as that is, he's put his finger on something that is probably a common response when people pass, when people die. For example, when a celebrity or musician dies, there's often a Twitter storm or like a collection of comments that say they're probably looking down upon us now, playing their guitar. And for a generation of people that are not actively engaged in a conversation about life after death, it does seem somewhat odd that people would think this way. Is it just a false comfort or is there something more to it? I've also heard a phrase before about heaven and the kingdom of God, and it goes like this. It's not pie in the sky when we die, but it is cake on the plate while we wait. The message behind that little rhyme is trying to get across something that Jesus is telling us today in our Bible reading. People will no longer be able to announce the kingdom of God's arrival, like counting down the days in the calendar. That's how the Message version puts it. We can't do that anymore because the kingdom of God is already here. Jesus has already announced its arrival. We actually looked at it again at the start of this season's Grow project for those who are part of our church and looking at this stuff together. It's based on that core teaching that we look at STC all the time. Mark 1 verse 15. "The time has come," Jesus has said. "The kingdom of God has now come near. Repent and believe the good news." Perhaps as a way of responding to this podcast, we could go back and look at those simple video presentations that started this term's modules. At the end of this recording, we'll be able to hear the Bible reading for today's podcast in full. I won't repeat it now, it's quite long. But the story goes on to basically outline all the different types of people who were not aware that God's kingdom was near and how they are living a life that is missing out. Today, let's try and not make that mistake. For example, we could go looking for signs of God at work, and in faith we could join in. Not signs of crisp packets blown down the street, but signs of open doors. Maybe we're looking after the house today, or looking after the family, and some news comes in of someone not being very well. Let's take the opportunity to pray for healing. Let's see what God does. The kingdom of God is near. Perhaps we have a lunch meeting or a phone call with a friend today, in between a full day at work. Try and take some time to listen to God, or as you walk to the meeting, to pray and see if God gives you an encouraging word or a Bible verse to share. Let's try and live in the knowledge that, as Jesus told us today, the kingdom of God is already in our midst. Let's pray. God, thank you that you and your purposes are happening around us all the time. Give us eyes to see it and a willingness to jump in. Amen. Luke 17, verses 20 to 37. The coming of the kingdom of God. Once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." Then he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. People will tell you, 'There he is,' or 'Here he is.' Do not go running off after them. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation, just as it was in the days of Noah. So also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given away in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the housetop with possessions inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night two people will be in one bed, one will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding grain together, one will be taken and the other left. 'Where, Lord?' they asked. He replied, 'Where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather.'"
Every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever save, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you, oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside. Your heart. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live